Hey guys, today we're going to talk about Doom Eternal on the Switch, Amazon getting rid of their pre-order deals, and is MoviePass done? Tune in for the Game Voice podcast for that and more. Welcome back for a long-awaited return of the Game Boys podcast. I'm here with my co-host, my cohort, my co-pal, Bowman.
Hello, everyone. I'm back. We're both back.
We're back. Bowman's been gone for a while, and he was in old Nippon. And it's Japan for you non-weeaboos out there.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I was a combination of maybe too lazy or, you know, just there. What am I going to do? Run a solo podcast? Who am I? Pat the NES Punk? I don't think so.
I like a solo podcast.
I'm Pat the Game Boy Punk.
But I appreciate that. I feel like you couldn't go on without me.
Well,
or Snyder.
Probably could.
Snyder couldn't show up.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Snyder wouldn't come.
Did you try to contact him?
Yeah. Not, like, specifically just like, hey, you need to come and do this podcast with me, but I did float the idea, and he was just like, I'm too busy. But he's moving, so.
Well, yeah, it's true. He's got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's moving in with his old pal, girlfriend.
His old pal girlfriend?
Yeah. So, they're gonna be moving in together, living in sin, probably having premarital sex.
Oof.
Yeah, tough stuff. Yeah, it's shady stuff. He comes off as, like, a wholesome, friendly guy on the podcast, but in reality, he's actually a degenerate.
Never would have got that out of him.
I know.
That's a shame.
So, all right, well, we've been gone for a while now. I think it's been like a month. So, what have you been doing, man?
Well, I mean, I was in Nippon. So,
okay. How was that?
Really good. I went to Tokyo. I mean, obviously, I landed in Tokyo, and then I went to Osaka, spent time with my lady friend over there. So that was fun.
Bowman's got an exotic Japanese girlfriend.
I mean, I don't know what's exotic about her, but
she's
Japanese.
Foreign.
Maybe I'm exotic to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a really good time. We went to a fireworks festival together, and we actually, like, wore yukatas and everything.
Aww.
I was literally in Persona 4.
Right. One of my favorite games. It's my favorite RPG, probably, of all time.
Yeah. It was funny. When we first walked outside, like, we were expecting, like, everyone around us to be wearing yukatas, and like, when we walk outside, like, no one around us is wearing yukatas.
Oh, no.
But then we got to the fireworks festival, and, like, every other person was wearing a yukata.
So you weren't the weird interracial couple wearing dresses, the only ones.
Yeah. No, like, half the people there. It was an insane amount of people there, and, like, half people there were wearing yukatas.
So the fireworks shows there are pretty nuts, right?
Ridiculous, man. It was an hour long
of
continuous fireworks, and I'm not talking, like, pussy fireworks. Like, it was, like,
we're talking those big boy mortars
I'm
they shoot
the
off
mortars,
over at Disney.
I'm talking about the bangs. I'm talking about the explosions. I'm talking about the smiley face.
Oh, man. They had smiley faces? Were they messed up? Did they shoot them upside down like
sometimes
they always do?
Yeah, they had, like, pandas and stuff. And they had, like, some that looked like copyright characters, like Mickey Mouse and, what's that one famous, like, blue character that's really...
Blue's Clues.
Yeah, Blue's...
Okay.
Anyways, it was an hour long, and it was just funny, just because certain people, like, started to get bored because of how long the fireworks festival was. Some people were really super interested in taking pictures the entire time, but a couple in front of us finally was just like, all right, we've had our fill, and they left.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
I mean, because I got bored at, like, Blue Man Group, where it's just like, okay, this was cool for, like, 30 minutes, but how I can't sit here and watch guys drumming for, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah, it would be funny because there'd be, like, a silence. They would have, like, what looked like to be a finale.
Uh-huh.
And then it was just... Nope.
Just keep going.
Just more fireworks. So that was really cool. So I'm not going to talk about my entire time with that, but just the entire trip was fun.
Talk about the games.
I only bought one video game.
Okay.
Phoenix
was for me, right?
No. I bought the Phoenix Wright Trilogy for 3DS, which I can't play.
Okay.
Because 3DS is not region free.
It's region locked.
Region locked. I completely forgot about that.
Okay.
Which is stupid because the Nintendo DS ones are really cheap. I saw like the first one for like 500 yen and like the second one for like 800 yen. But whatever. I'll eventually mod my 3DS and unlock it and I'll play it that way. So I mean, I'm trying to think what I could tell you about video game wise.
You got your ass whooped in Maximum Tune.
I did. That was just like some idiot asshole kid. Well, now he's not an asshole.
I would have done the same thing.
Whatever. At least he could, like, say something to me or, like, look at me afterwards.
You didn't speak their language.
So?
Oh, but I guess we didn't even acknowledge you at all.
Yeah, I'm not even...
He treated you like you were CPU.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, pal. Like, so, I love Maximum Tune. Like, you're big into Initial D. I'm big into Maximum Tune. I love that game. And I still had my card for my last trip so I could just continue my story. Right. Even though... the last time I played it was like Maximum Tune 5 plus, and now it's on 6. All my stuff carried over, and I could still continue the same exact story mode that I was on in 5 plus.
Initial D used to do the same thing.
Yeah, so it's a great game, and I play the hell out of that. And in one like Inara, like kind of like a offbeat path place, it was 2-for-1
games.
So it was 50. Neat. It was 50 cents a game, basically. Nice. So I just stayed on that machine for like an hour or so. So, but the reason that happened was just because I couldn't tell which option it was to not let people challenge me.
Oh yeah.
I figured that out after he challenged me. So I didn't want to do that. I just want to buff up my car, and I'm not good enough to really go against any people who, you know, live in the arcade, which is pretty much like everyone who goes
to the arcade.
Yeah. I played some Beat Mania as well.
Okay,
did you ever play that growing up?
Is that the one where it's like DDR, or is there
Beat Mania? You're thinking of Step? You're thinking of Step? Maybe I forgot what it's called. Step something. That's like the DDR knockoff. This is Beat Mania, which is the DJ
music game.
Rocket G Play had that back in the day.
Well, which one is the one where you just wave your hand in front of it?
That is. God, I know what you're talking about. I think it starts with a P. And, like, I
whatever.
They didn't have that anymore.
Did you play the game where you're the angry dad?
God, if I saw it, I would have.
Yeah. Like,
I want to try to find that for sure, man. Like, yeah, no, they did not have that. And I told you about that one game. It was everywhere back when I was, like, a teenager visiting Japan, where it's, like, a comedian set that I tell you about this game. And, like, anytime your partner says something stupid, you're supposed to smack them.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds awesome.
Okay. Well, it sounds fun.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good trip.
It was a solid trip, man. I got stuck there for a little bit, and I ended up getting drunk and doing karaoke by myself for 2 hours, which was surprisingly a lot of fun.
It's weird.
It really, I even like texted my girlfriend, was just like, is it weird to go to karaoke by myself? And she said, no, it's actually like really common now.
Wow.
They even have like recording booth style ones where you walk in, it's just like a little recording booth and you just hang out.
Pretty weird.
Pretty weird.
Pretty weird.
I think there's weirder things in Japan.
Sure. But from an American point of view, it's weird to go by yourself to karaoke and sing to the wall.
It was nice, man. I could finally like actually like let loose and relax because like, I don't enjoy karaoke anymore, really,
mm-hmm.
just because it's my job, and I could finally just sing whatever the hell I felt like it and didn't care what anyone else thought. I don't know why. Like, I don't really get insecure about karaoke, but, like, I can't go to my own place that I work for and sing karaoke and feel at ease anymore.
Right.
Because it's just, I'm not a stranger in that place anymore, and I don't know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, what about you? Did you do anything while I was away?
No. Played some games.
What are you playing?
I beat a few games, actually, while you were gone. Played through and beat, Momodora, Reverie of the Moonlight.
That game looks great.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It's a Metroidvania-style game, and, I thought it was pretty neat until I played Dead Cells and was like, okay, this game is, not that great of a Metroidvania. Like, it's going from, like, a mediocre... It was a fine game, but, like, let's be honest. It's, like, a mediocre game, you know? It's got, like... Mm-hmm. If you look at the reviews and stuff, it's fine, it's good, people liked it, and that's how I felt about it. But it's a... You know, it was a few hours long, and it's got, like, 75 on Metacritic or whatever. It's fine. It's a good game.
Yeah.
Then you go straight from that to Dead Cells, which is, like, an amazing critically acclaimed, like, it, and it deserves all the, like, nines and tens that it got, and I'm just totally addicted to that game right now.
Mm-hmm.
And going from straight from another Metroidvania, like, indie-style game to that is a huge, huge difference. So, right now I'm playing Dead Cells, totally addicted to it. Yeah, and then, what was I playing before that I ended up finishing? I finished it, and that's when I started playing Momodora.
Did you finish Octopath?
Yeah, I was playing Octopath, finished that, enjoyed it quite a bit. Didn't get the final ending just because I didn't care to. It requires you to, like, do a lot of stuff, and it's optional. It's like a final, like, post-quest type thing, and it's like... You have to fight through all the game's bosses again on top of the final boss without, like, any save points or whatever. So if you lose, you have to do it all over again. And on top of that, you have to go back and do all these, like, random side quests that they don't even tell you are important in order to unlock that quest. I was like, I'm not going to do that shit. I spent a good 55 hours on it, and I was like,
I'm done
with it. I'm satisfied. So yeah. I got all 8 endings, and you don't even... The credits roll once you beat the storyline for your main character.
Mm.
So, you're not even forced to go through and do all of them. But I did all 8 endings. And, yeah, I liked it a lot. So, it was definitely a good classic-style JRPG if you're into that sort of thing.
Played a couple games while I was away. And I beat Night in the Woods. And I also played Claire and beat that the other day, actually. I completed it. So... Night in the Woods was good. It's fun. I would not, once again, like, my solid review is that definitely wouldn't recommend it to you.
Okay.
Most definitely do not play that game. It's not a pack game.
All right.
At all. It's very much like your classic walking simulator where it's just completely story driven. There's not really... There are, like, gaming elements to it, but it's clearly meant to be a game where you just are progressing through the story and you're, like, finding things to your own and... The way that you play the game, it's meant to be mundane. It's going over, like, I'm sure you've heard a lot about it up at this point, but it's kind of supposed to be like
mental illness simulator.
It's not that. It's not like in your face as certain people like make it out to be. It definitely is about that, but it's also just about being in your early 20s, having no direction in your life.
Right.
I felt it was a really relatable game, and like a lot of the characters had a lot of depth to them, and like you really felt for them. The dialogue writing was like really well done. Not to spoil it to anybody out there, but there's like one scene where you're like at a party, which there's multiple parties in the game, but one of the characters like embarrasses the other characters, and like it completely brought me back to like moments of my life where it was like where that happened to me, or I was the asshole in this scenario. And
I
stuff.
Can think of a few actually where one of our friends was an asshole to you.
Yeah.
And tried to embarrass you in front of people.
Yeah. So
thinking of one very clear one right now.
You have to tell me later.
Artagon.
Oh, wait, hold on. I'm trying to think. The Artagon.
And I yelled at them and was like, dude, why are you doing that?
Oh, I know you're talking about. Yeah, good times.
So, it sounds relatable.
It's a relatable game. I think it's fun. Well, not really fun. People complain about how it's kind of mundane, but, like, it's supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be kind of repetitive at certain points. So, it's just long enough where it's not, like, it doesn't overstay its welcome. It says what it needs to say, and then it stops, and
right. You
can take whatever you want from it and run away from it. You can go on YouTube and make a really pretentious review about it if you want. Or you can just take it for what it is.
I'll go do that right now. So
I also played Claire, which is funny because it's also about mental illness, really. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's another game about that. And I didn't get the best ending. So I might replay through that one real quick again. But that game, it's funny. I guess maybe it's a good thing. I try to look up stuff online about it. There's like almost nothing written online about
really?
It. No one's like
no
written.
Game facts
no one's written. No, there's not even a single game fact for it.
Huh.
And it's kind of like a 2D... the closest thing I can describe it to is like a 2D Silent Hill. Like the map style and stuff where it marks off where you've been
right.
and where you need to go. Where, kind of where you need to go. But since it's completely like almost in darkness a lot, you get flashlights, but you only have so much battery life on it and stuff. And like the more you're in darkness, the more you get panic. And the more you're panicked, the more you take damage. So
okay.
It's got some cool elements to it. I don't think they're executing the best way they possibly could have been. But like... You did feel like, oh, God, I can't use my flashlight, fine. But since I can't use my flashlight, I'm getting panicked more, and like you could hide into closets and stuff, and that would calm you down. Uh-huh. So like it was cool in that regard, and you'd ration off the items.
Okay.
And anyways, what I'm getting at in that game was that my issue with it was that like you get so lost even with the map, because like it's like a dark 2D game. You know when like 2D games have like kind of like Zelda 2, where it's got like a big, like obviously big map layout and stuff,
right?
But it's hard to envision that in your mind.
Friday the 13th.
When yeah, exactly. When you're going, not as bad as that.
Yeah.
But that's the worst example. But when it's hard to envision where you're going when you're going left and right on a big map and stuff, it does the best it can to help you out with that. Like even when the map opens up, it even like has an arrow pointing to what direction your character's right. pointing. So it tries to help you out with that. But you get lost a lot. And that was the issue I had with it. I had to look up one thing online just to see where the fuck to go on one part, and I got like the slightest hint. That was the only hint that I got, because I was just getting frustrated wandering around forever.
Okay.
So I think it's fun. I think it was a free PS Plus game.
Right.
It took me 3.5 hours to beat it, meaning you'll probably beat it in 2. So if you ever get bored, I think it's interesting.
Yeah, check it out.
It's definitely got a deep storyline, and like, I don't know. It did a really good job exploring like the I don't want to say the mental illness, but I'm just but more so it did good. Well, I guess mental illness, but also just like accepting things about yourself and accepting things about your family. What do you do with all the information when you find it explores like the when your innocence of childhood gets lost, when you find out your parents aren't perfect,
right?
And like your parents have problem, and you start reinterpreting what love is and all that stuff,
right?
So
cool.
Yeah,
I'll check it out then.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to pause here. I'm about to pee myself. All right, we're back. Okay, so let's just get right into this. Sorry, I had to take a pee-pee break.
That's fine.
Let's get right into the old news. All right.
Well, we got a lot of stuff that happened these past few weeks.
Do we? Yeah, I got a few things here.
I mean, yeah.
So something that I'd like to talk about and start with is that they announced that... they announced that there was a sequel coming for Doom 2016.
Yes, Doom Eternal.
Right, which is a game that I love.
Yeah.
That was actually when we first started this podcast, back when it was not, when it was just shit and we didn't keep up with it. You know, we had like we had another podcast named the same thing that we did like 3 episodes of.
Yeah.
And we did a like favorite games of 2016, because it was like at the end of the year. And that was what I listed as my favorite game of that year, was Doom. So they announced that they were doing a sequel. Which isn't the news per se, because we don't really report on new games they announce so much as that it was coming the on launch date. It would be coming out for Switch. So basically, the original Doom came out on Switch, but it was 2 years later after mm-hmm. it originally came out. And there's been a few ports, or if you even want to call them ports, I mean they're just releases of new games on the Switch, but they've all come much, much later.
Yeah, Wolfenstein 2
was like 6 months later.
Yeah,
or more. And
I mean, and Dark Souls Remaster, we still haven't even got
right.
yet.
So this is a game. This is a major, major third party release. I mean, this is as major third party release as you can get. And it's on. You know, it's coming to PS4 Pro, Xbox One X, and Switch all on the same day. So what are your thoughts on this? I thought it was a pretty big deal.
I mean, I'm excited as hell. Like, heck as hell. It's great news. This is, I don't know. I feel like I have two different feelings on it, where I'm like super excited. Yeah, obviously this is like the best thing that could happen. Like this, we've been wanting this. We've been wanting big third party games to come out alongside, but also on the flip side, how much longer will we see this happening for?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, they're already really dumbed down, like, versions. The graphics kind of muddy, and the frame rate dips and stuff like that. But for me, it's just, this was, and I think people were just waiting, basically, to see the success of mm-hmm. the Switch and
yeah.
make sure that it was even worth their time to develop for it. And I think now that it's shown that it's a successful system, it's not another Wii U or even another GameCube, that I think you're going to see a lot more of this. And this was kind of the missing link for the Switch. I mean, I've talked about it on the podcast many times where my caveat was always, you know, don't count your chickens quite yet until we start getting some of these major third-party releases, because this is what the system was always pitched as, is you're going to be able to play your major console releases on the go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really what they've lived up to until now.
Yeah, it's mostly just been a place where we get a bunch of ports of old games, or we're getting indie releases.
Right, or first-party Nintendo games.
And we got a handful of first-party Nintendo games so far. And so, yeah, this has really made... If the system continues this momentum, we can really have something special on our hands. And we've said this before, but like, if stuff like this continues to happen and it's successful, it could really change the future of consoles in terms of like other like Sony and Microsoft being like, should we go for a portable option? Like, is that the future? Because you're seeing these games get released, and the difference between of sales versus other consoles is like ridiculous at times.
Yep.
So I don't know if we're quite seeing this happen with the Switch yet for third-party titles, but I think I think this is the true moment where it's going to have the chance to really, it's being called up to the plate, basically.
Yeah.
Where it's being like, all right, kid, we're gonna let you play. Mm-hmm. What kind of numbers can you give us?
Right. Yeah, for sure. And also from a perspective of like game preservation, which is important to us. I just look at this and I'm like, if all the major titles are coming out on Switch in 10 or 20 years down the line, that's going to be the version that sticks around because they're on cartridges instead of discs. So
yeah, well, if we get the full game on the cartridge.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So I do think that the bigger cartridges are coming and everything, and that might not be a problem, but right now it's not great.
Yeah.
At least Doom, the only part that was downloadable that you had to download was the multiplayer. That was the only part you had to download.
So, right. It was the same way on PC and stuff, too. Like, there was a later patch that came out.
You've even mentioned it to me. Like, it couldn't have come at a better time in my life because I'm just... And I don't mean to beat a dead horse here, but I am at a point in my life where my Vita and my Switch are my most played systems. And it's not just because, like, oh my god, I love these systems. It's just that they're the easiest to pick up. I turn my Vita, press one button, I'm back into the game that I was at. Same thing with Switch. I pick it up, it's right there, or I get home, sit down, I'm right into the game. So at this point in time, my most preferred system to play is Switch. I'm always going to pick up that one first.
Yeah.
And I don't care about the loss of quality. If I cared about quality so much, I wouldn't be playing these games on consoles anyway.
Yeah, that's why I love that, like, these indie titles have been all getting, like, a ton of physical releases on Switch, because I prefer physical, and I also prefer the Switch, especially with indie games. It's like, you're not going to see any you're not going to see any issue with graphical fidelity or whatever on with an indie game, so why wouldn't I prefer it on the portable handheld?
It's pretty ridiculous, dude. Like every even semi-popular indie title is like probably going to have a physical release at some point. I think those limited
Dead Cells. Like, I mean, that was like a Steam game only. It was like an indie game, $25 bucks, and they came out with a physical version because Switch.
Because people were buying them.
And you know what's funny is that a lot of the times, this is another topic. I guess we'll go right into this, but a lot of the times too with the Amazon discount or for pre-ordering, it's actually cheaper for me to get it physically on Switch than it is to buy it on Steam or whatever digitally.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Yeah, so on that note, we'll go right into this. So it's come out. We were all kind of suspecting it. They were winding the service down already, making it like harder to get the discount.
You noticed a lot of games wouldn't have the discount randomly.
Yeah.
Like,
now they are officially getting rid of the Amazon pre-order discount for video games.
Pretty much. They're still offering another incentive, but it's not really that great.
Where they give you like some credit or whatever?
Well, they're going to give you $10 credit for certain titles.
Yeah.
And who knows?
Yeah.
So, at the end of the day, though, this count's done. So,
yeah,
it's a huge loss.
Yeah, and this is what we're always talking about when it comes to competition, where it was like, as soon as the Best Buy service
you
went
know
away,
that they were like, all right, cool, we can get rid of this now.
Yeah, who are we competing against? There's no reason for us to have it anymore, because people were going to buy it from us anyway, because we deliver it to your doorstep the day it comes out.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's not surprising.
It's not surprising, no. It's just, I mean, we've always been in a position as consumers where it's just like, everyone kind of always knows that new games are sold with almost no profit already. At $48 for a new game, which is what they're selling it at on Amazon, I think that's probably what they're paying. I don't think they're making any money off of it.
They're probably making some.
I mean, when you talk to, like, game stores, typically they get their games for, like, $45 to $52.
I think it depends.
And they sell them for $60.
It depends on the store and the amount of orders they get and stuff. But, I mean, like, I feel like a company like Amazon has a lot more pull to get. I feel like Amazon was the only company really capable of having a discount like that. Because they probably were getting it at least, like, $5 per game or something like that.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. Like, how sustainable is it really? I mean, at the end of the day, these companies need to make money.
It was too good to be true. And I definitely took good advantage of it while it lasted.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I'm happy about that. I'm happy that I got, you know, it's not a, I am kind of peeved that I feel like you shouldn't be able to cancel something like that until, like, you should play it out further, like, from the moment where they announce it. This situation should be, anyone who's bought a Amazon Prime account up till this date has a year with it. Like, you shouldn't be able to cancel features of a membership that you sold.
I mean, sure, I would love that to be true. But yeah,
there's
got to
be some legal precedents.
All these companies, they put in their agreements, like, nothing's guaranteed to you. I mean, you're paying for a membership, and the membership can change anytime it wants.
Yeah.
So, whatever. I'm sure people complain and said, I don't want Amazon Prime anymore. Amazon probably would let you go ahead and cancel it. They're pretty good about that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I guess we might as well jump into this next thing. Well, actually, no. Real quick, before we end this, do you think, how much is this going to impact your game purchasing? Because I felt like, for a while, this is not me anymore, but I was pressured to buy games early sometimes because of this discount.
For sure. It will definitely affect my game buying a lot.
Yeah.
Because if there is a game that I know I'm going to want eventually, but I think that it might not get cheap for a while, I'll pre-order it.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, I'll just buy it now and get the discount, and then and then that way I know I can get it cheaper than MSRP and not have to, like, gamble on whether there's going to be a sale or not.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to, like, more niche stuff. I bought a lot of, like, indie games, physical indie games, where there's, like, no guarantee if there's going to be even another print. And it's just like, well, I don't know if these are ever going to get cheap, so I'll just buy them now. And it's also a lot easier when they're $30 a piece, and then you're getting the discount. It's like, okay, so I'm paying $23 for this game, for this physical game.
Yeah, it was great for Switch games, because the Switch tax isn't as bad as it was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's already gotten better, but in the beginning, like, it removed the Switch tax, basically.
Yeah exactly. Like, and I saw a lot of people complaining online about how like something would cost $10 more, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I paid $12 less than what it costs, so, you know, really I paid less than you, and you're complaining about the Switch tax.
So
it definitely affected my buying a lot, and it will now. I'm not gonna pre-order stuff anymore, probably, unless it's something that I know for a fact I want day one.
Yeah.
Know?
So those of you out there, if you're listening in time, August 28th is the last day. So you can go ahead and put in, like, as many pre-orders as you want.
You just cancel them if you
want. And they don't charge you until they ship. So, I mean, you're more than welcome to just go out there and scope out all the games you want and then probably forget about them and get charged a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, I already had some stuff pre-ordered. I have Smash Brothers pre-ordered. And I don't remember if there's anything else major that's coming out.
Resident Evil 2?
No.
No.
I don't have that pre-ordered. And yeah. I probably won't. That's a major Capcom game.
It's gonna
get cheap.
I probably
won't have time to play it when it first comes out. So, yeah, it's going to be like $20 after
Resident Evil 7 is like $10. You can buy that game for like $10
yeah,
right
exactly.
Now.
So, yeah, exactly. Which is great. I would like to play that game, and I will happily pay $10 for it. So.
Yeah. I guess this is... we've been commenting on this story a lot, and I don't know. I think it's just fun for us to talk about since you and I have been going through this since the beginning. Speaking of memberships.
Yeah, I have this one that we've written down as one of my topics.
Yeah, I figure we might as well talk about
this. So I have it written down. You know, I don't write, like, long thoughts. I just write down a little blurb.
What did you write?
And I put, MoviePass is done. It's gone. It's over.
And there's been clickbait articles like this since the beginning, but...
It's actually done now.
It's... Okay.
It's in the death
throes. It's a complete pile of shit right now, and the thing is, like... I like to point out, people, I was always the person that defended them.
Yeah.
Anything they did, I didn't care. I'm like, you know what? It's still $10 a month. It's still a good deal. Still a good deal. I don't know if you've seen that Simpsons episode where they, like, where Lisa, like, is vegetarian. And they're, like, making the pig, the roast pig.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, launches it up. And, like, Bart and Homer are chasing after it. And it keeps, like, getting, like, gets into, like, a dumpster. And, like, it's still good. It's still good. And that was me at MoviePass, where it just kept getting shittier and shittier. And I'm like, it's still good. It's still a good deal. Now, it's so awful just because you cannot watch movies when you want to watch them at all.
You can't, like, watch the movies you want to watch either.
And the thing is, like, okay, those of you who aren't familiar with what's going on at MoviePass, there's a lot. It keeps changing.
They've changed it literally, like, every week for the last 2 months.
It's changed so much.
No exaggeration. It's seriously changed, like, five to ten times.
Let's both look up and see what is available on MoviePass to watch now.
So these are the movies at my local theater that are available today, a Saturday, okay, Saturday evening. There are three movies, okay? Axel, Christopher Robin, and the Happy Time Murders. Now, I'm pretty sure all three of these movies are rated rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay? And out of these three movies, it's right now 6 p.m. Out of these three movies, there are a total of five possible showtimes. Christopher Robin has one showtime. So if I want to go see Christopher Robin today, it has one showtime for 10:40 p.m. So if I want to go see Christopher Robin, which I don't really, there's three movies to choose from. Let's say I go to see Christopher Robin. The only option I have is to be out till like 1 in the morning to see this, like, see this movie.
Well, furthermore, the thing with you is that you went ahead and opted for the annual plan. So
right.
You were protected from a lot of these changes in the past.
Until they just decided, we don't care anymore. We're just going to change your shit too.
Yep.
So I've paid up front, and they've changed all, like, so now they limit me to three movies a day. They just pick at random, and they don't pick new movies. So just three shitty old movies.
Do you still get unlimited movies?
I don't know, because I haven't been able to use it in, like, a month or two. Because every time I go to use it... So I went and checked the other day. It was, like, 1 in the morning, so it was technically the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it, and all the movies were on there and all the time. So I was like, oh, great. I want to go see a movie tomorrow. And when I went to go check the next day to look at the showtimes, all the movies had gone, and it was just one movie on there with one showtime.
Yeah.
So I haven't gone because there's never a movie I want to see. Already, when all the movies were available, out of 10 or 15 movies, I probably only want to see like one or two of them to begin with. So they're purposefully choosing bad movies now so people won't use it.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's going to end up in a lawsuit, I'm sure. Because people like me who paid already, I already paid for the service, and they've totally just changed it. It's like if you paid for a year Netflix subscription and then you wake up tomorrow and they've removed every movie except for their own Netflix made movies. And there, you know, you have like 20, 30 movies to choose from and none of them are any good instead of the thousands that were originally on there when you signed up. So they've totally changed the service around. I can't use it. There's another good example is like there's the movie theater that you work at, which is like an indie theater. They only play independent movies.
Can't see any movies there.
Can't
anymore.
See any movies there.
They're stunned.
Well, apparently there's one right now today, one showing of American Animals.
What? I mean, well, this is what we're talking about when
it comes to
the consistency, because every day it was gone. So apparently now you can see one showing in that indie theater.
But it's only because it's a major popular movie. Most of the movies there, they don't show up on here. So it's a total crapshoot.
You don't know what you're getting. And the thing is, like, for me, when the service was amazing, I didn't see movies all the time because I have a very busy schedule. I can't just randomly go see movies. And with this uncertainty, there's no way I can see movies now.
Yeah. It's very picky on what you can see. It's totally hit or miss. Some days I go in there, there's nothing there. And some days there's all of a sudden there's showings. And also, one thing that they're doing is really shady is you will go in there and there'll be a showtime and then people will drive to the theater to check in and then it will be gone.
Yep.
And the way that MoviePass works is that you have to be at the theater in order to check in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're really screwing people over and, they're just being really shady. Their stock is down under 2 cents a share. They're done. They're totally done. They don't have any money. No, if you look on their, it's pretty funny. If you go on their Twitter or whatever, it's just thousands and thousands. Every time they make a post, it's just thousands of people being like, "Fuck you, your service is awful." There's zero chance that they will ever recover from this because if anyone ever goes to, like, people were already skeptical. When it first started, people were like, "Oh, I don't know, it's too good to be true," or whatever. I heard people were always looking for reasons not to join. Oh, well, I heard that like my friend went and it didn't show up or whatever. And so like people were always looking for reason not to do it. And then now it's like if anyone asks anybody with a subscription, that person's going to be like, "No, don't do it. It's garbage."
Mm-hmm.
You can't recover from something like this. Everyone that I know that had a membership canceled it. So
I haven't canceled it yet because my subscription isn't done until like the September 11th.
Okay.
So I'm going to, I don't know.
Well, just cancel it. There's no question. You should just cancel it. You said yourself you can't use it anymore.
Yeah. I'm making it like my mission to try to see like two movies before this thing expires. So I will try to see a couple movies. We'll see what happens. I don't know. And I mean, but as you said, I can't recommend the service to anybody anymore. That being said, you and I, I still think it was a fun ride. We still got a whole lot of movies out of it.
Oh, yeah. I saw 45 movies.
Yeah,
mine.
Like, I definitely, I got my value out of it.
$80, and I saw 45 movies.
Did you really see that many movies?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, so I definitely got my money's worth. And some of those movies, I like cheated the system or whatever, and I got like I went into like the IMAX showing or something. I paid the extra couple dollars, so I definitely got my money's worth. You know, I paid less than $2 a movie. So, yeah. Plus with all the benefits and stuff, I was getting like free popcorns and stuff like that. So, I didn't get like bamboozled. I got my money's worth. You know, but I still paid for a service and I'm not getting it.
Yeah,
so.
I go ahead.
I will happily sign up for the class action lawsuit when it comes around.
Yeah. No, I was only saying that because I've had people message me and be like, "You got ripped off."
Yeah.
And it's just like the people who didn't sign up for it, and they're just like they think they're so clever for not signing up for it, and it's just like, nope. I definitely.
Well, especially if you're paying monthly, you just cancel it. Yeah. Okay, it's not good anymore, so I canceled it. What about all the other months where it was supposedly too good to be true? There's a reason why they're going out of business, and it's because the service is too good to be true. I don't know if the people listening out there quite understand how it works, but basically, you check in for a movie, and then you have a debit card, and MoviePass loads the full cost of the movie ticket and then onto the card, and you pay for it. So MoviePass is paying out of pocket for every movie that you're going to see. They're not getting any kind of special deal on it or anything. So if a movie costs $10 at your theater and you go to see three movies, MoviePass paid out of their pocket like $30 for you to go see those three movies. There's no way that that could have been sustainable, that they're making any, they're not making any money. They're totally out of money. The service got shut down for a day because they literally ran out of money and had to go take out a loan.
Yeah.
They have no money in their account because they're paying directly for these movies. It's not like some magical service where they have an agreement with the movie theaters and stuff. They literally just have a checking account with millions of dollars in it, and they pay for people's tickets. So it wasn't a sustainable system to begin with. Everyone said it was too good to be true, and yeah, it was too good to be true, and I'm glad that I was smart enough to, like, be on that train when I first came
in. We said this since the beginning that, like, it probably wasn't going to last that long.
Yeah, but I still got, you know, 8-9 months worth of $2 movies out of it.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is. I'm pissed off, though, because they've changed the service on me, and it's not what I paid for at all.
Yeah.
So, whether it was worth my money or not doesn't change the fact that they're ripping me off now.
Yeah.
So it is what it is, but MoviePass is done. They're totally done. There's no way that they can recover, and they're just about bankrupt, and their stocks are plummeting. So aside from the inevitable MoviePass is finally bankrupt and gone, you're not going to hear from it. You're not going to hear about it again from us because there's nowhere for them to go. They're at the very bottom.
Yeah.
They're all the way down at the bottom. There's nothing else to report on this company. That's what I mean when I say they're done. There's literally nowhere for them to go other than bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
So, on that note, I have one more topic here, and it is that the Switch is coming out with a comic book reading app.
Yeah, I read about this the other day.
So, I don't care so much about the actual comic book reading app. There's not much to say about it. You can read comics on your Switch eventually. The question I have to pose is, do you think there is a place or a future for the Switch being more than just a gaming machine, or do you think that Nintendo's initial attitude of, we're not putting Netflix, we're not putting all this other crap on here because everyone has a phone?
They didn't say that. Tablet.
But they implied it. They implied it. They said, this is just a gaming device and that everyone has a phone and a tablet and a computer and everything, that it doesn't need to have all these, you know, Hulu and Netflix and reader apps and all
that. To answer your question, absolutely yes. It's a great idea. I completely am someone that would be in the market for a service like this because it includes manga. I don't know how much stuff that's actually going to have on it, but I want a monthly cert because I like manga, and at the end of the day, I'm lazy when it comes to like piracy and all that stuff. I only pirate because I'm lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And if a good service comes out that provides me what I want to pay in an affordable price, I pay it. Crunchyroll, I pay for it. It's like $7 a month. I get my granted there's a lot of issues with the service at times, but at the end of the day I get brand new anime shows the day they come, like an hour after they were aired, translated, no issues, done,
bada bing bada,
bada
boom.
Bing bada boom. And they even include free manga in it as well, but it's a really limited selection. So I am more than happy to have a service like this. I would love all the services. I use Hulu on my Switch as it is now, and I want Netflix, I want YouTube, I want all these things into the system because, as I said before, as it's for the same reasons I said before, where it's so easy to just completely turn the system on, and it's on my TV, and the comic book service too is going to be great because you can like zoom in and read comics on your TV. Like, that's not a service; it's really readily available right now in consoles that I know of, and at the end of the day, it's all because I'm lazy. All these things you could easily do with a computer hooked up to your TV and all that, and it's not necessary. Or, you can just use your phone for all this stuff. absolutely, you are right. But having all this stuff built into the system too is great because of that the versatility of having it hooked up to your TV as well. That's why it's a profitable thing to me.
Yeah.
So I am absolutely on board with this service. I hope that they have if I look at the manga selection, it's like a great, good selection of like good manga, like new stuff. I'll look into it.
Is it a subscription service?
It's $8 a month.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I think this kind of falls into the same category as, like, Fortnite, where Fortnite was available on, like, everything mm-hmm. before everything else on top, like, before the Switch, and someone could maybe look at it and be like, we don't need Fortnite on the Switch or whatever, but it's almost like, I think it falls in the same category because you have kids who don't have fancy phones or tablets or whatever, and they have a cheap, you know, and they have a cheap Nintendo Switch, which is it's relatively cheap compared to other devices, and you know the parents got it for them to play Mario Kart or whatever, which is how like my little sister got it, and she doesn't have like a nice expensive computer or tablet or anything like that. And all of her friends at school are playing Fortnite, and then all of a sudden now Fortnite's on Switch, and she's got 200 hours logged on it.
And she can play Switch. And she can play with her friends. Well, right. You know,
so it's the same. PS4, I think this kind of falls into the same category, whereas like someone like me or you might be like, well, that's stupid. I don't need to watch Hulu or whatever on my Switch, or I don't need to read books on my Switch. But because I have a tablet and a phone and all this stuff, and I think that I think stuff like this kind of falls in the category of like, you know, you always hear about that grandma who's still watching Netflix on her Wii. You know, it's like, that's where I think this a lot of stuff falls into, where you have someone who bought it because it was cheap and maybe falls into a category like a little kid or an old person or whatever. And then as they release more and more stuff, that device gets used more, and then they end up spending more money on it mm-hmm. and playing it more than they would.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, you know, my sister might have grown tired of her Switch by now or whatever, because there's not that many games for like a little girl on there. She might have grown tired of it by now if it wasn't for the fact that Fortnite came out. I mean, she wasn't playing it that much, and then now that Fortnite comes out on it, she's on it all the time, and that's going to make it even more likely that she'll buy more games down the line and whatnot.
And having something more accessible to her.
Yeah. Because
Fortnite, she can easily just turn it on and play.
Right.
There's no pressure to pay money for it.
So I also am usually of the mindset that the more things that I can have on one device, the better, mm-hmm. even if I don't use it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to ever use my PS4 to watch YouTube videos, but I know people who do.
Yeah.
And just because it's not for me, if a device is all-encompassing, that's just good business. Like, It's like the same principle with how Disney has it set up so you never have to leave the property.
Yeah.
Same principle with this. If you never have to turn on any other device aside from your PS4, that's just going to be more likely that you're going to spend more money on your PS4.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I think it's an interesting move. I think it's a good move. And like you said, I didn't even think of it, but you're right. There's not really anything else out there that allows you to read comics and stuff on your TV. So,
yeah, so, I mean, depending on how the service is, because we haven't really have a full amount of a comic book and stuff like that. They're going to be offered on it.
Right.
But like you said, I'm more open to a continuing trend of this. So I got one thing to bring up. I don't know if I want to talk about it or not, but it's, I don't know, I thought it was really funny and interesting.
You have herpes.
Yes. No. That I don't know if you saw the Honey Pop 2 reveal.
No, I didn't.
So you don't know about this at all? So
no.
Okay, those of you who don't know, Honey Pop is like a hentai game. It's pretty light. It's just
Is this the puzzle game? Or
yeah, it's the puzzle game. So yeah, same studio that made the Honey Cam game. They make a lot of like adult anime games and stuff, but they're really light. They're mostly like comedic games. Comedic games with adult content in them, and they're pretty offensive, but they're not trying to be anything else. They're just adult games.
Right.
So Honey Pop 2 released a trailer, and there were some quite of interesting things that caused an uproar. in the new trailer, as there is these days. I'm kind of on the middle of this one. I understand why people are upset. But, so what happened was, they revealed some of the new girls that you can pursue. So, mm-hmm. if you don't know, Honey Pop is a dating sim, basically, at the end of the day. And there are puzzle and RPG elements to it. And the goal of the game is to have sex with all the girls. I don't even think you really select each girl. You actually have to have sex with... The goal of the game is to pursue all the girls. So, the trailer came out for part two, and they revealed a character that they labeled as trans, but then called her biologically male. She's got a penis.
Uh-huh.
And so they're basically going for the fetish of, like, Futanari, which is, like, dick right. girl porn.
Right.
And there's been, like, two sides of uproars. You have the trans community that's upset because they're not getting proper representation. And... In an adult porn game, I don't know. And then you have
the polar opposites who are offended that you included them.
Yeah. And then you have the other side of people who are upset that you're making them pursue a dick girl.
Right.
Because you have, like I said, you have to go for all the girls. So right. you're going to see penis in the game.
Okay.
So it's kind of a really silly story. It's just, it's a very much a 2018 uproar story, because it's just, it's so ridiculous. Because other characters in the game are also really offensive. There's an Arab character.
Okay.
And she's, and a part of her description literally says, quote, repressed slut.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of, like, crazy stereotype characters in this game. There's even a fucking, like, cat lolly girl, but she's 18 years old, uh-huh. that you can pursue as well. So, it's an interesting controversy. So, anyway, so the story did develop, and the developer responded with it and basically had a poll asking people's opinion of it and what they should do about it. And the developer decided to have an option where you can turn the dick option on or off.
Okay.
You can have her be a girl or...
That's honestly pretty great.
Honestly, I think that's a great solution.
The dick slider.
The dick slider.
Is it on or off?
Yeah, yeah. Do you want the dick? Do you not want the dick? And now a large audience of the trans community is upset because they're just like, well, now you're erasing this person. So, and now, yeah, and the developer, I think he just made a lot of bad choices in the sense that, like, he should have realized that this would start a controversy. Like, you should be... Whether or not you agree with certain people's perspectives, it's going to be obvious that if you say certain things, there's going to be an uproar.
It's like, whatever. You just got to make a decision and stick to your guns at this point. And
yeah.
In this day and age, that's really the key, and that's the solution to all those types of problems, is whatever you decide on, don't bend your will. Don't bend to the will of the public or whatever. Just... Whatever you decide on, just do it. And if people are pissed off, they're going to be pissed off. I think it's a perfect example of you can make some people happy all the time, but you can't make all the people happy.
Yeah, well, I just thought it was funny that people were pissed off for two different reasons. You have people who don't want to have sex with the dick girl. And you have the other side who are just like, we want proper representation in this really offensive adult game.
Yeah.
So...
I just think you're never going to win.
No. Well, the main regret the developer said he should have never called his character trans. And that's what he's going for at this point now. They're not calling the character trans or anything like that now. It's literally just like, this is this character, she's got a dick.
Well, because in like Futanari, they don't
call him trans.
Yeah.
No. They're not, like,
they're just
trap characters, like, they're called trap characters and like Futanari characters. They're not supposed to be trans.
Well, they still have a characters. Vagina. Don't they?
Not always. Trap characters are, like, sometimes just, like, they call them traps because they're actually...
Trapped,
they're actually...
But in Futanari, I'm pretty sure, don't they have a vagina?
Sometimes. This is right. Hentai. There's no rules here about...
True.
there's no rules.
They're just breaking your ground constantly.
It's just not treated...
We don't put boundaries on hentai.
In Japan, like, when it comes to these games, there's no discussion of a trans... There's no real discussions of trans sexuals and all that. It is very much a fetish in Japanese culture. It's not really taken that seriously. And whether or not that's a good or bad thing, it's up to you at the end of the day. Like, is it up to pornography to make a position for you? And I think there are plenty of developers out there who are very much... I mean, there was that 2064 game where they had a lot of queer and trans representation in the game. It was made by trans people, like, and queer people, like, and I think if you want those games, then support those games. Like, yeah. I don't think it has to be an uproar.
No.
Especially when it's coming to a fucking indie developer's hentai game.
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely, it's definitely a case of pick and choose your battles there.
Yeah, like, I understand. It's not, if you ever get the chance, look at the description of the girls. They are pretty offensive, but at the same time, it's a ridiculous...
It's a trash game.
It's a trash comedy hentai game.
Yeah.
It's not meant to break through boundaries and, like, redefine how you see certain types of people. It's literally a fetish game. You go on a website, and there are all these fetishes. They're just checking off all the fetishes that you want.
The Last of Us 2 expansion pack, repressed Arab whore.
So, I don't know. I'm in the middle on it. I think that people... I'm not surprised that people are offended by it. But at the same time, like you said, this guy should have known that people would be offended by it. And it's just like, all right, you either are going to make this or you're not.
Welcome to 2018, and on that note, I think we're going to wrap this up, because I'm about to pee-pee in my pants.
All right, everybody.
On that note, thank you for listening. Thanks for sticking with us in this long, painful hiatus we took. I know you guys are clamoring for more, so we said, you know what? We need to get together. We need to give the fans what they want and what they need. And that's why we do this. We don't do this for us.
No.
We do it for you guys.
Yeah, we love you guys.
And, yeah, so please subscribe on all the podcast listening devices, and
tell us what you think.
Yeah,
are we bigoted assholes, or do you? And any topic, let us know. Like, hey, you fucking idiot! Like, you said
wrong.
This wrong. I welcome that. I love people who disagree with me, and I would love to reply. We would love to respond to you, or continue to not, and we'll keep recording anyway.
Leave us a 5-star review and we'll read it online.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so thank you, and we'll be seeing you next time.